TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Pam Larry and the California proposition to label genetically modified food. A snapshot in time of one of the most unexpectedly successful political campaigns over the right to know what we eat. By the time you hear this, the November 2012 election may be over, and the question resolved that several million voters on one side and many million dollars of corporate money on the other side want to see answered. Will genetically engineered foods have to be labeled in California? Both sides agree on one thing. Whatever the outcome, the California election result for Proposition 37 will not be the end of the issue by any means. As of September 2012, 11 other states have already formed a coalition to initiate GMO labeling via legislation or ballot initiatives patterned after Proposition 37. So even if money wins over people in California, the issue will not go away. If Proposition 37 passes, the ag, chemical, and industrial food corporate lobby, headed by Monsanto, $7.1 million, DuPont, $4.9 million, BASF and Bayer Plant Science, and Dow AgroScience, $2 million each, Pepsi, $1.7 million, Nestle, $1.6 million, Coca-Cola, $1.1 million, ConAgra and Syngenta, $1 million each, followed by General Mills, Del Monte, Kellogg, Hershey, Smucker's, and many more under 1 million donors. They have already mentioned a legal challenge. And there may be Hollywood. If there ever was a story of David versus Goliath, it is that of Pam Larry, grandmother, former midwife and farmer, from Chico, California. She was outraged when she realized that there is no independent safety testing of genetically engineered ingredients in our food, and that corporations such as Monsanto, DuPont, Syngenta, Bayer, etc., are doing their own self-assessment while at the same time preventing scientists from double-checking their results. Under current patent law, scientists must ask GMO corporations for permission before publishing independent research on their genetically modified crops. Pam Larry looked around the world and learned that GMO food must be labeled in 50 other countries, including all of Europe, Japan, India, and China. That's 40% of the world's population. They have a choice whether they want to eat GMOs or not, but not in the US. Given the power of influence and money on the side of the GMO producers, no organization or individual had dared bring up that simple question. Why, if food packages already have a long list of mandatory information on salt, sugar, fat, additives, etc., are we not allowed to see two additional words? Contains GMOs. Or even better, no GMOs. Many companies that want to sell to the 40% of the world that have mandatory labeling have reformulated their products so they do not contain GMOs and do not need to be labeled. These companies found that a growing segment of the population has growing concern about the safety of GMOs. And slowly, awareness is spreading about what GMOs actually are. Beginning in the mid-90s, foods began appearing on supermarket shelves, from baby formula to corn chips, soft drinks, and starches and sweeteners in so-called processed foods that contain GMOs from plants that have been genetically engineered. The two major plants that are engineered are corn and soy. They either have been made to survive repeated applications of the pesticide Roundup, aka glyphosate, or have been engineered to contain an insecticide in each cell of the plant, from stem to leaves to the part we eat, the soybean or the corn cob. So when an insect nibbles on any part of this so-called BT corn or BT soy, it dies from perforated intestines. Nobody stopped to ask what happens in the intestinal tract of humans that eat the BT corn or BT soy, or for that matter, animals that are fed BT soy and BT corn, and then to us later when we eat the beef, pigs, or poultry that have been raised on GMO feed. Since the mid-90s, the number of engineered foods have risen to around 100 and now include genetically modified animals, such as salmon and pigs. And their approval process has been sped up under the Obama administration. In the summer of 2012, Walmart has begun selling Monsanto's sweet corn, which contains the pesticide BT in each of its kernels. That in itself is a qualitative jump in the spread of GMO food. So far, most of the GMO corn and soy was made into animal feed or used for biofuel. So when Pam Larry, former midwife and farmer, decided she wanted to use one of the few remaining tools of citizen democracy that allows anyone in California to put a proposal on the ballot if they can turn in a certain number of certified signatures, she decided to go for it. And then something amazing happened. Her demand to have GMO food labeled resonated with a growing movement for organic and nutritious food, with a movement of health practitioners, and of course, the individuals who are dealing with the new dramatic rise of food-related diseases, from diabetes to allergies. Not that people necessarily felt that GMOs were causing the new health issues, but a diagnosis of why these diseases are on the rise, that include gastrointestinal illnesses, obesity, inflammations, autoimmune diseases, in addition to diabetes and allergies. Such a diagnosis is impossible unless the person suffering from the disease and their doctor know what exactly is in their diet. And the biggest change in food of the last 15 years is the introduction of genetically engineered corn, soy, beets, etc. And 75% to 85% of the processed food in our grocery stores now contain GMOs. That is how late in 2011 the California Right to Know campaign began. Pam Larry started organizing mothers and volunteers across the state to a 2012 ballot drive with only one goal in mind: to let California consumers know if the food they're eating contains genetically modified organisms. For Pam, that groundswell of public grassroots support made up for the fact that initially she did not receive much attention or support from organic food and farm or from environmental organizations or the media. Ronnie Cummins, who heads the Organic Consumers Organization, was the first to open his publication to a letter by Pam. And that letter drew an unexpectedly huge response among the 850,000 members of the organization. So in 2012, with the help of thousands of volunteers across the state, supported by a rising number of organizations, the Right to Know campaign gathered nearly 1 million signatures from California voters within a 10-week period. I met Pam Larry at the second annual Heirloom Seed Expo. The expo is organized to present and celebrate the work of independent seed collectors, organic farmers, and aficionados of good and healthy food. It took place on the grounds of the Sonoma County Fair in Santa Rosa, California, in September 2012. Here is Pam Larry.
I come here today to talk to you about the history of this ballot initiative, to let you know how it got started, how it's progressed. I'm a grandmother from Chico, which is a small town north of Sacramento. I've lived there for 34 years. I've been a mother, a grandmother. I have two grandsons aged 9 and 4. I was a midwife for about 7 years. I've helped about 200 babies get born. I was a farmer and I farmed on 17 acres and I was a business person. I had 24 employees. I've always been really interested in really good tasting food, and I think that organic whole food just simply tastes better. So I'm really interested in that. And I started hearing, I'm a little bit of a geek, not much, but a little bit. I really love science and I love new stuff. So when I first heard about GMOs, I was like, cool, hybrids on steroids. That lasted about 4 seconds, and then when I started to learn what was really going on. And what I started to learn alarmed me. I started to get more and more concerned, learning more and more, until I became actually pretty obsessed. So much so that by the fall of 2010, I was actually quite depressed. And I was spending a lot of time crying, a lot of times being kind of like that, you know, almost like a multi-level marketer person where people would come up to you, you know, you walk up to somebody and they kind of turn around and walk away because they know that everything that's going to come out of your mouth is about GMOs. So I was that kind of a person, you know, like people were running away from me and stuff like that. And I'm telling this story because I hear this a lot around the state as I've been traveling around the state. So just bear with me a little bit. So anyway, I was actually getting to the point where I was actually catatonic. And I would lay in my bed and I would cry, looking at the future of the world, seeing what I knew then, and I'll tell you, I've learned a lot more now. But at the time, I just was appalled watching our seeds become, you know, being taken over, and the farmers being sued, and, you know, the court siding with them, and just everything seemed backwards. You know, I was just talking to somebody earlier today, how they have taken the language and flipped it completely. He was a seed guy, and he was talking about how he went to this big, huge seed place, and they talked about seed enhancement, when really what it is, it's it putting all these chemicals on them, so much more that they had to like wear hazmat suits when they were inside this seed place. But no, they call it seed enhancement. We'll talk a little bit more about how they play with language with the ballot initiative, too. But anyway, so I was actually catatonic and crying all the time, and then in January of 2011, it was really kind of, Jeffrey Smith calls it an epiphany, because it really wasn't a conscious thing at all. If I had thought about it, I probably would have run away and wouldn't have done anything. It wasn't like a plan. It just kind of hit me one morning when I was hovering between awake and asleep that this was my job to get this on the ballot and to get it won in November, you know, November. So I was absolutely terrified, absolutely terrified. I had no money. I had no knowledge of anything. I didn't know how to do a ballot initiative. I didn't know anybody. I know a lot of people now, but I didn't know anybody back then in January. So I took 6 weeks and I learned how to do a ballot initiative, and then I got in my old car, Sally. She's a Toyota Camry. She now has 311,000 miles on her. And I started traveling around the state. And real soon after that, I wrote Ronnie Cummins, and I kept calling. We have a mutual friend, so I started writing and calling Ronnie, and Ronnie very kindly allowed one of my letters into his newsletter. And it was a call to the people of California. And I have basically been pushing that call ever since, and I'm doing so again today. Because it really, I'm just as terrified as I was back then. You know, when you start a journey and you don't know where it's going, you know, you never know. I believe we're going to win, but I don't know where we're going to end up. You know, you can't start something, you know, and only keep going because you know you're going to win. You got to just keep, I used to call it just keep swimming, you know, after that Dory in Finding Nemo. just having to keep on going no matter what. And I got to tell you, aside from Ronnie, at first, it was pretty bleak out there running around, except for on the streets. I started traveling around California. I started in Southern California, and I started hearing folks. They were saying, I would lead my area, I'll lead my area. And pretty soon they started coming forward, and they were. They started organizing their communities. Carrie did, you know, organize hers. Jessica, where's Jessica Orton? I can't find any of the other leaders here. But folks from around the state started saying that I'll do the, oh, ISIS is back there, over there in Humboldt. So people started saying, I'll lead my area. And I'm telling you, these people are my heroes. They're my heroes because they've been out organizing their communities, even though many of them had never done anything like this before. I heard that over and over and over again. I've never been political. I've never done anything. I don't know how to do this. You know, but I care about this issue enough that I'm willing to overcome my inner, you know, scared, nervousness about doing it wrong, you know, my tiredness, my inability to organize, all these things. They kept swimming too. And it was really exciting because pretty soon we had, you know, 40 areas that were organizing themselves. And then we had 60 areas. And now we've got like 130, maybe 150 plus leaders around the state organizing their communities to differing degrees. And it's pretty amazing. So last year, as I was traveling, more and more people, Ronnie's connections started opening up doors. More and more people behind the scenes came on board. David Bronner got involved, bless his heart, with Dr. Bronner's soap. Center for Food Safety started to be involved. Then Jeffrey Smith with IRT. Then Food Democracy Now. And then Aaron Stevens and Arjun from Nature's Path. And Grant Lundberg from Lundberg Farms. And more and more people started to become involved. And we formed a steering committee in the background. They wrote this amazing initiative, of which I am so proud to have been able to listen in on. They didn't really ask me much about writing it because I'm not a lawyer. And I always used to say we wouldn't want me writing it. But the creativity to create something like they did, which didn't involve creating this huge bureaucracy in California, and yet protected us to know, you know, that the stuff would not contain GMOs, was brilliant to me. I listened to these people, you know, struggle with all these different situations and try to figure it out. It was truly, I call it an effort and a job of the heart. You know, they really, really, really worked hard. And I can talk a little bit about our opposition in a little while and why this makes me so angry about them. But it's been such an amazing journey for a grandma from Chico, I've got to tell you. The first thing that we did on the ground was we organized ourselves, and then we got trained how to gather signatures. From February 18th until May 2nd, we gathered 971,126 signatures. That was really cool. It wasn't all volunteer, but it was a lot of volunteer signatures in there, and we really were the backbone and pushed it over the edge. And then we had it on the ballot. We got word that we qualified in June, and then we got our Prop number 37 in July. And then we've been back out on the streets. We've been back out on the streets getting endorsements. We've got like 2,000 different endorsements from local and from national and international organizations and professionals and all that kind of stuff. Unheard of. People are, you know, it's very exciting seeing everything that's going on around this. I mean, when you think about one person on January 20th of 2011, and then we have somebody like Angelika Hilbeck. You want to stand up? She's from Switzerland, Germany, I don't know, Switzerland. We got to meet her. She tells us that the world is watching us. The world is watching us, you guys. It's pretty darn amazing to see what we have done together. And it would have gone nowhere if it would have just stayed with me. So where are we today? Our opposition has $27 million in its account already. They've already started their ad buys. We came out with our commercial first. It's a great one. If you haven't seen it, please go to the California Right to Know site, carighttoknow.org, and look at our great commercial. We've got some more made. I got to see a couple of them. They're really great. I was like, yeah. You know, however, we need help to get them on TV. It's been very exciting to see, you know, the opposition may have 27 million, but it's all like Monsanto, 4.2 million. Ours is a whole lot. We've got a couple large donors, like Mercola.com and Nature's Path and Lundberg Rice. and then some larger folks in the organic industry are starting to finally come on board. But a lot of the money that we've raised has come from us, you know, and I don't see that happening in the Know I'm 37 group. I see our Facebook page with, you know, what, I don't know how many, 37,000 right now, and at least another 1,000 a week. There you have like 400 or something like that. There just isn't that passion and that support for the Know I'm 37 group as there is for ours. Their only passion comes from the people who are going to lose money, they think, if this is voted in. So what is our future? This thing has spread through our human contact and through looking in each other's eyes. That's it, man. It's about us. This is about us. This is about, I've heard about beginnings. This is a beginning. I mean, when I would talk to people before, I would call us peaceful warriors that are going to be changing the food system. See, this is another very powerful thing about this. My thing has always been, if we have the idea, then it's ours, you know, because what I used to do all the time and why I was so depressed was I was always saying, well, you know, Organic Consumer Association, so together, they'll take care of it, okay? Food Democracy Now, they'll take care of it. Center for Food Safety, they'll take care of it. Everybody else, you know, they'll take care of it, they'll take care of it. Guess what? They need help. You know, they need all of us as the wind behind them and to uplift and to move this along. It's just a very small number of folks. Nothing's going to change until we all do it.
That was Pam Leary, the initiator of the famous GMO food labeling law that became Proposition 37 on the California November 2012 ballot. I recorded her at the second annual Heirloom Seed Expo in Santa Rosa, California. Pam Leary began taking questions on the California Right to Know campaign and their website, carighttoknowoneword.org. I asked her if she was trying to alert people to the dangers of GMOs in her face-to-face encounters.
In this ballot initiative, we're not focusing so much on talking about the dangers of GMOs directly. What we do is that we bring up questions, okay? We talk about the fact that there have been no studies, you know, that no human studies that have proven these safe. We talk about the fact that the same people who fund animal studies are the same people who have lied to us before about other chemicals, you know, telling us that DDT was safe, Agent Orange was safe, you know, that PCBs were safe. No worries, GMOs are safe. Well, so my answer to that one is, hey, great, if you want to eat food, you know, to our opposition, if you want to eat food that these same companies are saying is safe, that's great, you go ahead, but I have the right to know. And so any reason that we have always comes back to our right to know. So for instance, a faith-based person may be outraged at the fact that we're playing with God, you know? And so that person has a right to know because they may not want to be contributing, okay? The environmentalists may be upset because so many more pesticides being used overall and that the corn is actually a pesticide, you know? So that, you know, they may not want to support that. They have a right to know. Some people, there are, you know, geopolitical implications or, you know, social issues that they don't want to support. They don't want to support a system that goes after farmers. They have a right to know what's in their food, so they're not supporting this system. I mean, the reason I was depressed was I was so off that the corporations around the world were dictating what we can and can't do. I mean, what is that all about? And then the collusion. I've since learned the term called crony capitalism, you know, the collusion of government with them. It's an outrage to me, and I am one off grandma that I'm not stopping after this.
What's next for you then?
Silent meditation retreat for 10 days. Yeah. Well, I can tell you it's very exciting. We have just formed a coalition of 11 states that are going to be working on this either through legislation or ballot initiatives. I just said, hey, you guys, happy to help you after this, but don't expect anything from me until November, probably 15th.
That was a snapshot of the movement around the labeling of genetically modified foods, the effort to pass Proposition 37 in California in November 2012. Pam Larry was the founder, instigator, and for some time the lone campaigner on the right to know if we're eating genetically modified foods. This is about the rights that people in 50 other countries already have, including all of Europe, Japan, India, and China. They have a choice whether they want to eat GMOs or not. Whenever you hear this program, before or after the November 2012 elections, this is a story yet unfolding. So even if money wins over people in California, the issue will not go away. And if Monsanto, DuPont, BASF, Bayer, and Dow AgroScience win by the power of their money, they may be immune from consumer anger. But what about the long list of food companies that have come out in the open and put their money and name against the labeling of GMOs? They are the ones on the shelves in supermarkets. Does their fight against disclosure of GMOs in food mean that they use it in their ingredients? Does this mean that it is necessary to take a closer look at Coca-Cola, Nestle, Pepsi, Conagra, General Mills, Del Monte, Kellogg, Hershey, J.M. Smucker, Hormel, Bumblebee, Ocean Spray, Sara Lee, or Campbell's Soup? By September 25, 2012, they all gave at least $250,000 each to defeat Prop 37. So whatever the outcome of the vote by the time you hear this program, this food fight will be yours to enjoy, participate in, or oppose if you choose. And hopefully, the website of the California Right to Know campaign will remain open into the future under carighttoknow.org. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under Newest Programs. Please have a pen ready to write down a phone number to call to find out how to order this talk as audio CD. You can get information on how to order a CD with Pam Larry that includes Winona Howder, also on GMO food, by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. You can get your CD by mail or credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.